Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number 4 of the JR Sport Brief on the Infinity Sports Network. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. We have certainly had a very jam-packed, action-oriented show as we have had two guests break down the NFL and everything to anticipate in what is to come in week number 6. We have certainly talked about the NBA headlines that is coming across our very desks, our tablets, our phone devices, because NBA.com came out with its annual survey of their awards and team predictions. And one of those big headlines is the sciatica for LeBron, in which is going to force him to miss game number 1 of this upcoming regular season. He will be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. At this current second, we have the Giants and Eagles in a very close battle between these two NFC East rivals. The Giants, off of a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown from Jackson Dart, able to get out in front early in the first quarter, 13-3. But since that time period, the Eagles, in their own right, have scored a touchdown and look to be on the verge of scoring another one and taking a 17-13 lead. The Eagles, as everyone is well aware, understands that they are the team to beat, not just in the NFC East, but the NFC overall. They have themselves Jalen Hurts, who's playing out of his mind this year, 7 passing touchdowns, averaging 40-50 yards on the ground, no interceptions. This is a guy that's looking to be in a Super Bowl for a third year in just 5 years as essentially a full-time starter. So all this guy does is win. And a lot of the media is trying to make there become an issue between him and A.J. Brown. And all A.J. Brown is saying is, I want more footballs. I want more action in these games. And he has every right to say that. He's one of the better receivers in the NFL, a huge-time playmaker in their Super Bowl run when they won it last year, 3 years ago when they made a Super Bowl appearance, should have won that Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a vital part of that. So to me, if you're A.J. Brown and he's a wide receiver, you understand that sometimes wide receivers are not necessarily the most low-maintenance individuals in the sport of football. They're going to have their voices be heard. They're going to have their wills be inserted. And speaking of wills inserted, Jalen Hurts throws across his body. That is incomplete. We go to third down. And in the baseball game between the Dodgers and the Phillies, in what certainly shaped up to be a pitcher's duel, in game number 4, we have seen this particular game go now to the top of the 10th inning, where it is still tied 1-1. And the Dodgers looking to get the Phillies for out number 3 and potentially head to the bottom of the 10th inning with this game tied at 1. Looks like there's a bloop and caught by the Los Angeles Dodgers as they now go to the bottom of the 10th inning looking to walk it off and take this series 3-1 against Philadelphia. First taking the first two games of this series in Citizens Bank Park, Shohei Ohtani was unbelievable in game number 1 against the Cincinnati Reds. Ever since that point, He has struggled mightily. He has batted less than 100. That is not the National League back-to-back MVP that I am accustomed to seeing. Now, we're going to get into this whole saga when it comes to the Cleveland Browns and what the heck they are doing when it comes to the dealings of Shedeur Sanders. They are butchering this. They are, you know, absolutely wrecking any potential that Shedeur Sanders can have with this Cleveland Browns team. And they're going about it in a sloppy way, a disorganized way, a chaotic way, and worst of all, in a logical way. And it doesn't serve them, and it doesn't serve Shedeur. I'm going to get to that momentarily. I do want to honor people that have been waiting for quite some time on the busy phone line. And Greg in Michigan is no exception. Mr. Positive, you were featured pretty heavily on the Zach Gelb show and the Bart Winkler show these last couple of days, man. So you're making the rounds. How you doing, buddy?
Whoa, I did not know that. I knew about Bart, but hey, Zach, thank you. I'm honored, and wow, Chef Baby. Yeah, me, you, Bart Winkler, Chris Cuomo, Infinity Sports.
Well,
I mentioned
Greg,
it around the world.
We first of
I
all,
I love you.
Well, we love you, Greg, and I know I speak for not just myself when I say that. And let's just call a spade a spade. It takes a lot of guts to be able to call into a talk radio show. It takes a lot of guts that you have been doing it for as long as you have, and you always deliver the goods, and you're articulate, and you're insightful, and you add tremendous context to each and every conversation that you partake in. And when you mention the Infinity Sports Network, which you did on News Nation, I take pride in it because I take a lot of pride in what we do here.
Yeah.
And I believe very much in what we do, and it's good to hear other people believe in what we do too. And when you share that and spread that to the masses, and it's heard on News Nation, which we know is a political talk format, it still gives Infinity Sports Network a plug, and it's a way to, you know, understand what it is that we do. I know Chris Cuomo is a sports fan, so I will reiterate to you, Greg, if Chris Cuomo ever wants to come on and talk sports, we'd love to have him. If he wants me on his particular talk show, I'd love to go back and forth with him about his Philly teams, about his New York teams, and let's get Infinity Sports Network as much recognition and as much attention as it deserves, because I believe it's one of the best brands in all of sports. It's something that I have been proud of for quite some time, and I know other people who would know what we do would be even fonder of you because of it. So we appreciate what you do for Infinity Sports Network, brother.
Thank you, Chef Baby. And real quick, Tigers, I think they can do it. Can they beat Seattle tomorrow? Tell me, Chef Baby.
Well, Greg, yes,
Positive wants to know.
Well, Tarek Skubal, he can beat anybody, okay?
Yes.
He could beat the 1927 New York Yankees. The question is, will he? And if I'm going by his track record, and I'm going by the last two seasons, and I'm going by this postseason, this is a guy that's got an under 2 ERA. This is the guy that will go out there and pitch you a minimum of 7 innings. This is a guy that will go out there and average 12 strikeouts per contest. He's an individual that put up the most strikeouts we've ever seen in the history of a wild card round game. I have no doubt that he has the potential, as much as any major league starting pitcher, to go deep and make every pitch count when it comes to the Detroit Tigers. And we've seen Detroit go to Seattle and take one already. I would not be surprised, with Tarek Skubal leading the way, the likely back-to-back AL Cy Young Award winner, if he does the same thing come Friday, Greg.
Oh, my God, Chef Baby. Your lips to God's ears. Love you. Everybody go for your dreams.
Thanks,
Chef.
Thank you, Mr. Positive. Good to hear from Greg in Michigan. Now, how often does Greg call JR Botcher?
Very rarely.
What's that?
Very rarely.
Really?
I kind of get called from him just to see who else is on.
Okay.
He kind of like blind calls.
He blind calls?
Yeah.
No kidding. Because when I was producing for JR way back in the day, he called a bunch.
And different time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Speaking of different times, I can't for the life of me understand why the Cleveland Browns are doing what they are doing with Shedeur Sanders. I don't get it at all. Now, let me just provide you with the full context to all of this. Shedeur Sanders was clowned on and mocked and derided and ridiculed because he did the whole pantomime thing when they asked him in the media scrum why he was not the backup quarterback after Joe Flacco was demoted from first-string quarterback. And I was one of those individuals that gave him flack, not because what he did was so inflammatory and flagrant, but more so because at the quarterback position, you have to really lead by example. You cannot be any bit of a distraction. You have to be a solution. You have to be a calming influence. You have to be a force that is not a liability, but an asset. You can't be a detractor. You have to be a benefactor. And when we're talking about you in an unflattering light and you play the quarterback position, that's a no-no. It's an even bigger no-no when you're not even the starting quarterback and you've become a distraction. And when you have the last name Sanders and when you are Shedeur, you come with a whole lot more attention and a whole lot more notoriety. You knew that coming in when you were one of the highest paid NIL athletes in 2024. And when you're Deion Sanders' son, arguably the most innovative personality the NFL has ever seen, that guy created a brand out of thin air. And granted, he was a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, but he also had the personality and the ego and the gravitas to walk with that athleticism every step of the way. And so Shedeur Sanders, to his credit, he has answered the most recent questions in the utmost professional manner. And he referenced that he sees the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of him being a starting quarterback and that he's grateful for any opportunity that the Browns may give him. And I have a lot of respect for Shedeur for taking that particular stance, for going down that road, for not being somebody that's going to take away from your team, but to be someone that's going to be an asset, that's going to say the right things, act the right way, do the right things. And I got to stick up for Shedeur Sanders here because it's embarrassing what the Browns are doing. It's bad enough you didn't make Joe Flacco the third string QB, but you made him the second, very well knowing Joe Flacco was not the answer at any point for you moving forward. But now your mom, you're unknown about who your backup should be between Shedeur Sanders and Bailey Zappe. And Bailey Zappe is an individual that hasn't done anything in his entire NFL career in 3 years as a quarterback. You know he's not the answer. He may not even be the answer as a backup. You don't know what you're getting with Shedeur yet. You have nothing to base it on regular season-wise. The kid deserves a shot. He deserves an opportunity. And if you want to go with Dylan Gabriel, who to his credit is one of the most accomplished quarterbacks we've ever seen, you have a right to make him the starter over Shedeur. He was picked higher for a reason. He has looked better in the practices. He looked just as good, if not better overall, in the preseason. That's fine. That's fair. But to make Shedeur Sanders the third string quarterback and have Bailey Zappe potentially be the backup, it is utterly ridiculous, unless you're trying to prove a point or send a message to Shedeur. And in that case, you should disclose what you're doing because it only makes you look incompetent and it makes it seem like Shedeur is not fit to be a starting quarterback. And it's not fair to the kid. And to his credit, again, he's not complaining. He's not moaning. He's not making a fuss. He's taking it all in stride. And he's not giving anybody a reason to point the finger at him because he wants to get on the field. And it's unfortunate that a guy who many people consider to be a first-round draft pick ended up being someone that in the first five games of his career wasn't just a backup, but wasn't even on the active roster. And you talk about limited reps in a crowded quarterback room. You had Kenny Pickett at one point. You had Tyler Huntley. And you made a decision to consciously go in the direction of Shedeur Sanders. So why wouldn't you allow him to move up with Dillon Gabriel? That makes no sense to me. There's no reason to hold on to Shedeur Sanders at this point, given how big his reputation is, given how big his spotlight is, unless you believe there's something that he can offer you. And if that's the case, why be so neutral? Why be so on the fence as opposed to who's the backup is going to be? Because it ain't Bailey Zappe. He's not the answer for anybody at this point. And maybe there's a reason why you're on quarterback number 41 since 1999, because you don't know what the hell you're doing. That is the truth when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. And again, Dillon Gabriel has earned the right to start. He's responsible for the most touchdowns in the history of the SBS. He's got the most starts of any quarterback in FBS history with 63. And he happens to be tied with Case Keenum for the most passing touchdowns in FBS history at 155. But here's the other thing that I hope we understand about Dillon Gabriel. His body is not NFL ready, because the only other 5'11 quarterback I have seen succeed in this league is Russell Wilson, and that's when Russell Wilson had wheels. The wheels come off because you get older and the athleticism erodes and it fades and the explosiveness and the burst and the quickness is not there. All of a sudden, you end up playing for four different teams, and all four of those teams say, no thanks, who's next? Because that is what ended up happening to Russell Wilson once he lost the athleticism. But again, if we're going to take time to be critical and bemoan Shedeur Sanders when he doesn't do right, let's make sure we address the right when he does meet the moment. This is Shedeur saying exactly what you should be saying as a quarterback, despite the disappointment of his franchise and his coaches not looking after him in the way that they should.
Say anytime players, you know, that I came in with and that I spent a lot of time with, they get moved up and they're able to have a vital role in this offense and this piece, I get extremely excited for, and I'm playing through them, you know what I mean? I'm excited just as them every time they get out there and run a route and everything, because it's just amazing that, you know, you start somewhere and then you're able to evolve and get to a different level and go out there and actually be able to execute it. Just like Dillon, like whenever he got moved up to QB1, I'm like, you know, that's lit, bro. You got to make sure you handle everything the right way and, you know, just continue being him. So, like for me, overall, I'm just happy. I'm excited that everybody is living their dreams, you know, and I'm living my dream also. Come every day and be able to work.
Does that sound like a quarterback that you would root against or root for, Ryan Botcher?
Personally, I'd root for someone that sounds like that, but after last week, it feels like he was put in a room and was like, do not do anything stupid again. So he came out this week and was very supportive. And I don't mind it. That's how he should be 24/7. And it's a good step in the right direction. And I think he'll get his chance. And as long as he's supportive and is doing what the Browns want him to do, he'll play.
So the kid's 23 years old. And he did something silly.
Very silly.
Now, yeah, okay. We'll go very silly. Now, you are one of the more mature 26, 25?
24.
Damn, you're young. You're 24, brother?
Yes.
Okay, so you are one of the more mature 24-year-olds that I've met in the sports industry. And you are very mature. But most people are not that mature. Not in their 20s. Heck, I'm 38 and I'm still damn immature. So he's going to make mistakes. He's going to do things that he regrets. That's part of growing up. That's part of being a rookie. I don't think what he did was so egregious, so offensive, so disrespectful that he shouldn't, you know, have the opportunity to be a backup, because the Shedeur Sanders that I witnessed in college, he outplayed every quarterback, including Cam Ward, which is why he won the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, which is why there was a legitimate debate as to who should have been the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And there is a reason why there is a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders who happened to become the most accurate passing quarterback in the history of the FBS. And he won at Jackson State. And by Colorado standards, he won there too. And I know it was just one preseason start, but when he did start in the preseason, he was the best player on the field in that first half when he threw for two passing touchdowns, with both touchdowns looking like it came from a quarterback in year 10, not a rookie who was a fourth-string quarterback at the time, drafted out of the fifth round. So Kevin Stefanski, I got a lot of respect for you. You are a former NFL Coach of the Year. Not once, but twice, you have guided the Browns to the NFL playoffs, even winning the first postseason game in Browns history since a man by the name of Bill Belichick. So is there a thing you need to see from Shedeur in order to make him the backup quarterback?
Again, I wouldn't say there's one thing you need to see. I just, in my role, I have to do what's best for our players, our team, and I'm very, very invested in our player development, our young players development, our quarterback development. So any decision I make, I want to just make sure that I'm doing what's right for our players.
Botcher, can you ask me any kind of question right now? Just think any random question.
What's your favorite color?
Okay, what I want to do is I want to make sure that I answer this properly and highlight and crystallize what would make my favorite color. Did I answer your question for 1 second?
No.
Or did I tap dance it for 25 seconds?
Tap dance.
That's exactly what Stefanski just did. If you want to come out and say, I'm a fan of Shedeur, there's a reason why we drafted him. Shedeur has a lot of promise. Right now, I don't know if he is the best fit to be a backup at this particular moment, but he'll get there. I'd have a lot more respect for Kevin Stefanski.
He's a mess.
That is the biggest non-answer. I mean, he makes politicians seem genuine with that kind of answer. I mean, that doesn't give me any clarity whatsoever. There was a direct question. What does Shedeur have to do to show you that he is worthy of being a backup quarterback, where if, God forbid, something were to happen to Dylan Gabriel, or you just felt like changing it up, what would Shedeur have to show you in which you would have the utmost faith and trust in him? And he goes on to say, I just want what's best for the team. That doesn't answer the question for 1 second. So if I'm Shedeur and I'm hearing that, I'm in a no-win position, because he ain't saying anything of substance. He's not giving any kind of direction. There's no specific details as to what I need to do to be better. He's just saying anything and doing all kinds of double talk and giving all these obsolete platitudes, hoping that something sticks and something ends up being a quote. But there was nothing in terms of directing me to what I need to do to be a number two. It's a no-win situation in Cleveland. And when you hear bullshack like that, it just signifies why they are going on quarterback 40 since 1999. Number to join us is 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. This is a mess in Cleveland right now. What do you ultimately see happening with Shedeur Sanders this year? How does this play out? Again, number to join us, 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. We will take your calls on that. On the other side, we will certainly recap you the biggest games on Thursday in sports and give you the latest regarding the Phillies, Dodgers, and Giants, Eagles. So much more to do on the JR Sport Brief with the Good Shepherd filling in. You can always follow me at Shep on Air, whether it be Twitter or Instagram. We are coming right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Shepherd in for the great JR Sport Brief on the Infinity Sports Network. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Our esteemed and always on top of his game producer, Ryan Boscher, said to me right when we went to break, I'm overstimulated. We got so much going on. We got the NHL. We got the Phillies and the Dodgers. We have the Giants and the Eagles. We have what's going on our phones with the 10, 15 different apps we're on any given moment. This is so much going on right now in the world of professional sports. Not to mention the fact that I don't even know if the Cubs, because we only get two TVs in here, but the Cubs, you know, the Cubs and Brewers, if that started yet, and I'm pretty sure it did because I know it had a 9:09 first pitch. So
yeah, and there's runs too already.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
What else are we going to do? A marathon in Switzerland? This is so much sports going on at 9:30 at night. Who would have seen this coming? And I kind of wish the Yankees were still in this game, but we see the Giants taking a 2017 lead. Unbelievable showing from New York, considering they only had 14 points against the Aints. Don't say the Saints. Against the Aints. That's how they've looked post-Drew Brees. And as they kick off, the Eagles muff the kickoff return, making their life that much more difficult. Maybe the Eagles got together and said, we're not going to rout the Giants. We want to make this a little bit interesting for the Thursday Night Football audience. And Nick Sirianni doing his impassioned march on the sideline per usual. And then, of course, in the Dodgers and Phillies game, we are seeing a pitching classic, a pitcher's duel for sure. It was 1-1 last time I checked. It looks to still be 1-1. If only Clayton Kershaw could have been the regular season version of Clayton Kershaw in the eighth, maybe the Dodgers wouldn't have been completely taken out of game number three. And yeah, still 1-1, bottom of the 11th, and it is not even halftime yet. And the Giants are up 20-17, and you are 1,000% right, Ryan Boscher, as I look at this Cubs and Brewers game. The Cubs taking a commanding 3-0 lead in the bottom of the first inning. Damn, there is so much going on right now. Marco, is your head spinning like mine?
I don't know. I feel like this is kind of normal. This is the October. This is what we get. This is great. Best time of year. I know everybody loves March, which is fine in its own right. This, right, to me, when you get the playoffs going on with football at the same time, and then you get throwing college football.
Unbelievable.
That's where it's at.
Well, Ian Happ is where it's at because he may have very well sent this series to game number five with that 3-run home run in the first inning. Marco, let me.
Slow.
Well, you know, slow. I like to.
Yeah, you like to jump ahead.
I do. Oh, you know that.
Slow.
Blue Jays blew a 6-1 lead, so anything happens.
There's a lot. That playoff baseball, man. 3 runs in the first is nice. That's the game's not over.
That's a good point. And the Brewers almost came back in game number three. They were down significantly and then made it a 1-run game in the 7th inning. So there is truth to that. Marco, let me just pick your brain on this because we had some people call about this on the show. I know he's under contract till 2027. We are now going on year 7 with just one World Series win. And this is not the Minnesota Twins. This is not the Arizona Diamondbacks. This is the New York Yankees, the winningest professional sports franchise in all of North America. If I'm getting rid of Boone, who is out there that would make this team better?
Nobody.
You said
Aaron Boone's not going anywhere, number one. Two, you're just getting rid of Aaron Boone, then there's nobody out there because Aaron Boone doesn't make any decisions by himself. Not one. There is not one decision that is made by Aaron Boone by himself.
It's Cashman.
No, it's not Boone. All Cashman. Yep. They're simpatico. It's not like Boone right. saying, I don't want to do this, and Cashman saying, you have to.
Right.
It's Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone sit down, they go through every decision possible, and they come to an agreement, and those are the decisions. So if you fire Aaron Boone, right. the only thing you change is the press conference after the game. You literally don't change any of the maneuvers. You don't get different players. You don't get different philosophy. You don't get different results. You get a different vibe at the end of the game where instead of saying it's all right in front of us, you'll get somebody that says it's not what you want. It doesn't matter
right.
who the body is. It's just the words. The result will be the same.
Listen, I'm an Aaron Boone defender, believe it or not. You're talking about a guy who is one of the 10 winningest managers in the history of all of baseball in terms of winning percentage. The guy wins 60% of his games, and let's be honest, without arguably the best pitcher in all of baseball, they win 94 games. So they had an impressive season considering they're out Gerrit Cole. With that being said, there is some aura I'm getting and vibe I'm getting that is much different from the vibe that you and I got rooting for this Yankees team in the late 80s, in the early 90s, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, when George Steinbrenner was still with it. And there was a fear that you had as a Yankee when you knew you weren't coming and delivering the goods. When Buck Showalter had that incredible 95 season, and they got beat by, I believe, a more talented Mariners team in 95,
mm-hmm.
Steinbrenner didn't think twice. Showalter was gone. And a lot of people disagreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Four World Series later, in 5 years, turned out to be the damn best decision they have made as a franchise in 25 years. I don't know if they win four or five with Buck Showalter. So let's just play hypothetical. Just stay with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Bochy, he wants to go out a winner. He wants to get it done in the biggest market. You're telling me you don't go with Bruce Bochy if he wants to manage this Yankees team?
There is zero chance that the Yankees would hire Bruce Bochy. Because Brian Cashman, why would you give all the power to the manager?
Because
he has it.
Because he's won four World Series.
I'm sorry. How many World Series has Brian Cashman won? Right. So he's won.
Wait.
So he's won four as well. So
sure.
You're telling me he's going to have all the power and right. relinquish it willingly? Because what? You think it's better for them? There is zero chance that anyone will ever do that. Never mind Brian Cashman. There is nobody on planet Earth that's going to say, I've won four. This guy's won four. But you know what? He's smarter than I am. There is no chance.
But didn't Gene Michael lay the foundation for those four?
What the hell's the difference?
Okay.
And you know what? There was one of them that Gene Michael had nothing to do with, and that's 2009. So as much as we want to get on Cashman,
fair point, yeah.
I mean, Gene Michael was 15 years gone. So let's not.
Right.
Look.
Yeah.
Cashman's been there since 98. You want to give me the first three? It's not nothing to do with him. I don't buy that because they made a million moves, including whether or not you think that Cashman made the move or not. I mean, again, we go to revisionist.
Sure.
They had the bet 125 wins in 98. They didn't rest on their laurels. They turned around and they traded David Wells and they got Roger Clemens.
Right.
That's Brian Cashman. Now it's 25, 27, 30 years ago.
Right.
I'm not saying that you got to rest on that, but let's not revisionist all this thing. And there is no way. If Cashman wants to move on, it's because he's done and he wants to move on to another challenge or he wants to go home. But there is zero chance he's going to hand power to anyone else. There's a reason why Torrey was gone. It's because Cashman didn't want him there anymore because Cash wanted control.
There's a reason why
Joe Girardi's gone because he didn't want to deal with butting heads.
If we're being honest about the Joe Torrey situation, disappointing 2003 World Series performance when they outproduced the Marlins and doubled up their runs and still lost in six. If we're talking 2004, we obviously know the infamous history there. First team ever in MLB postseason history to squander a 3-0 lead in any postseason series. So I get your point about the power, but if Joe Torre wins in 03 or in 04, now forget 05 against the Tigers, forget 06 against what at the time was the Indians turned Guardians. If he just wins one of those World Series, I don't think they give him an offer for 50 cents on the dollar.
Jeff, he wanted him out. Cash wanted him out. And at that point, George was sick. Cash got what he wanted. Torrey was gone. That's what he wanted. No.
Okay.
Again, we're going through.
Jeter, wait. Okay.
Jeter had nothing to do with it.
No.
None of it.
No. That's not what I'm going to go. Jeter says, listen, I've got enough of A-Rod. Played with him for a decade in pinstripes. I'm now in the booth of him for a few years. I don't need this anymore. I want to be back where the competitive juices are really flowing. I want to manage. You're telling me no?
No.
You're saying no to the captain?
No. He had the chance to do that with Mattingly, and he said no, and he picked Girardi.
Well, Mattingly's different than Jeter. Mattingly never even played in a World Series in New York.
Shep.
I know he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but he's not Derek Jeter.
Did you just say captain? At the time, you're telling me Mattingly wasn't still the captain?
There's a different level. There's a different level from Don Mattingly to Derek Jeter, and you know that.
Bring up Babe Ruth. There is no way.
Well, he never got an opportunity to manage, unfortunately.
Brian Cashman is not giving power to anyone else. The day he gives power is when he relinquishes it and he walks away from the job.
Yeah.
There is no one,
right?
No one that would give away power that they've had for 25 years that they've acquired through work, through winning, all of that, and then turn around and give it away willingly. For what purpose?
Because he hasn't won a World Series in 15 years and counting.
So you're telling me he's standing there going, I'm at fault?
What I'm saying is, while this Yankees team has been in a World Series as recently as 2024, the expectation when I grew up, when you grew up, was in the 90s. It was World Series victory or bust.
Thank you.
So I understand what the mandate was. So with that being said.
That's changed.
Right. But wait a minute. But since that has changed, I've seen the Giants in a mid-market atmosphere win 3 of 5 World Series. I have
Shep, these are not the same arguments.
But my point is,
whether he deserves to keep his job and whether it's good enough is not the same argument as I'm going to willingly walk away. No, that's what you're asking him to do.
But what I'm saying is, if I'm Brian Cashman, in all seriousness, if I'm Brian Cashman and it is 2009, the last time the Yankees hoisted a World Series trophy, at some point, I got to look in the mirror. And I got to say, maybe my approach is not exactly winning us a World Series title. I need to adapt.
And then I
or
need
die.
To adapt and I need to be able to change what I want to do.
Correct.
What I want to do. Whether or not you believe this, there is no one that would do that, including you. You're not going to stand up there and go, I'm at fault and I need someone else to help me and do it for me.
There's a difference between
adapting and going, I need to change some of my thought process and see if we can tweak this and change this.
Right.
Cash is all for that.
Right.
But what you're asking him to do is to say, I am no longer part of the process. Because if Bruce Bochy or anybody else that of that ilk walks in, he goes, you know what? Give me the players. Get the hell out of my office. I'll see you in 6 months.
Right.
There is no way Brian Cashman would allow that. And you know what? There is no human on the planet that would allow that, including yourself.
We got to continue this at some point.
There is no way.
This is a riveting conversation, unfortunately. We got to get to a sports flash. I just wish our conversations were more passionate. That's the only regret I have about our back and forth.
We go all over the place. Why not? I feel like we're throwing darts. We get back to nothing.
Well, that's certainly one opinion. But Marco, always good to hear you back and forth, my friend. I wish we can go longer with this conversation because there's even more points that I want to make. We do have to get to a sports flash. When we get back, this date in sports history, it is a staple on the JR Sport Brief. But before we do anything else, let's get to our latest sports flash with the very low-key Marco Belletti.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Shepherd on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't forget to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Always great to go back and forth with my guy, Marco Belletti. Andy Pius grounds it into a fielder's choice, which ends up serving as the walk-off as the Dodgers making back-to-back NLCS titles appearances, taking out the Phillies in 4 games as they win in extras, the 11th inning to be exact. That might count as one of the ultimate events in this day in sports history at a later time. But right now, let's get to actual dates in sports history, that, of course, being October 9th. Ryan Botcher, please play that fancy music.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Welcome back, everybody. Always great to hear that soundbite from Larry Merchant. So, Botcher, we have 1988, Dennis Eckersley saving all four games in a championship series, that being the ALCS, when he was an absolute terror with the Oakland Athletics. Damn, I wish they were still in Oakland. Botcher, let's hear that sound.
I'll tell you what, mentally, you get worn out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not so much how much you pitch. It's mentally, you know, keeping it together every day. Because you think you have to pitch every day.
Sure.
And you have to go into it like you're going to pitch every day. And just, I think of it as magic. It was magic.
Sure.
It was. It was magic. I just go out there and I throw it and everybody makes out and let's get out of here.
That was, of course, Dennis Eckersley talking about being such a reliable and steadfast closer. We fast forward to 2005. October 9th, Chris Burke hits a home run in the bottom of the 18th inning off of the Rocket, a.k.a. Roger Clemens, as he pitches three scoreless innings of relief in Houston's 7-6 series-ending victory over the Braves in the National League Division Series. This would be the longest postseason game in MLB history, just 10 minutes shy of 6 hours. Botcher, let's play that sound, please.
And the pitch. Swinging. Lining it to left. It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Chris Burke! Holy Toledo! What a way to finish! Chris Burke just purchased the ticket to St. Louis. Look at the mound!
Unbelievable! Speaking of unbelievable, our last This Dates in Sports History signature event, 2016, you might have heard of Deflategate. Tom Brady, he was pissed about Deflategate. He used that to catapult himself to another Super Bowl victory. And this is his return, the ultimate GOAT in terms of NFL quarterback history, passing for over 400 yards, three touchdowns to Martellus Bennett in New England Patriots, 33-13, resounding victory over the Cleveland Browns. But everybody beats the Cleveland Browns.
Shotgun snap, blitz comes, Brady pats, he pumps, he throws, it's caught, crashing down to the earth, the tight end, Martellus Bennett. Touchdown, New England. The second hookup of the day between Brady and Bennett. Christian Kirksey collapsed the tight end down to the earth, but it's 22-7 New England. Tom Brady is in midseason form.
Botcher, I feel like we were a combination of Brady and Bennett tonight.
Am I the old one?
Well,
at the time,
I'll tell you what, you're an old 24, and that's a compliment, by the way. Like, you're an old soul. You've gotten that before?
Sometimes when I was younger, yeah.
Because you're just in control of everything. You're never unflappable. You never let anything get to you. Nothing seems to penetrate. You're like a duck on a pond. You just go. You're never deviating whatsoever.
Duck on a pond about to get eaten by an alligator.
No, ducks thrive. Ducks fly together. You ever heard that expression?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, but that team hasn't been playing good in I don't know how many years.
I hear you. Great movie, by the way. What's your favorite movie, man?
All time?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite movie of all time is Dodgeball. Other than that, it's Anchorman 2.
Those are classic movies. Vince Vaughn's in both.
Good stuff.
There's a really good Netflix. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name, but he honors Italian grandmothers. It's such a feel-good movie, and it's realistic. Speaking of feel-good and realistic, my sincere thanks again to Ryan Botcher, executive producer of the JR Sport Brief, for having me. Always love working with that man. My sincere thanks to Rich Ackerman, Marco Belletti. My sincere thanks to Brian DiArdo, and, of course, the great You talk about an unbelievable host in Gerald Brown, SiriusXM NBA Radio. And speaking of unbelievable, Bart Winkler, he's coming up next. I'll talk to you over the weekend, everybody. This is the Good Shepherd saying I love you all. Be good and be good to each other. I'm out. Take it over, Bart.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.